going to talk a little bit about different types of memory loss. And just wanted to welcome both of you doctors back. And Dr. DeMorais, we'll start with you on some types of memory loss.
Thank you. Typically, just as a little bit of a teaser, what we see is people become a little bit more forgetful, and it's not the long term. I recall my family members. I remember what I used to do. I can still play cards. That's one I hear quite frequently. Right?
Cards. Yes.
I can still play poker. I can still play gin rummy, but that's an inherent skill that they've done for many, many years.
Right.
Forgetting the car keys, driving to the wrong location, forgetting the stove on, sometimes a change in behavior, we start seeing as the beginning of memory changes. And typically, I try to break those up into something that I can prevent through treatment,
mm-hmm.
either through medications or sometimes through assistance with our specialists. That's really important. So the type of dementias that I see quite frequently are vascular dementia, and Dr. Ferris can talk about this quite a bit. We see Alzheimer's dementia. We see Lewy body dementia.
Oh, yes.
We see Parkinson's disease, which leads down to eventually a process of not only physical decline, but memory decline. And there are a number of others, but those are the ones that we see quite frequently. But ultimately, the outcomes are the same,
mm-hmm.
is people become forgetful, they have a difficult time taking care of themselves, and needs assistance.
Understood. Doctor,
right.
What do you see?
I think that's a great summary. And as we learn more, we're going to have more names and subclassifications, but I think that's a very pragmatic breakdown into some broad categories instead of it just being Alzheimer's. And vascular dementia has become a much more common term for what we see on MRI scans when somebody comes in over concerns for a stroke or some other neurological symptom. We'll see on a CT scan or an MRI, the radiologist will read out microvascular ischemic change or lacunar infarcts. And what this means is that the brain is suffering injury to the very small blood vessels. So the end organ, the brain, is being affected, and because of a lack of blood supply. And whether that blood supply is affected because your blood pressure is high, it's a long-term management need,
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. Lacunar infarcts are when we can image specific small portions of the brain that have also infarcted, or the tissue has died because they've lost the blood vessel. Now, technically, that's a stroke and doesn't necessarily leave that individual paralyzed in an arm or a limb or inability to talk, but can add up to this, broadly put. And I say this qualitatively because neither of us are neurologists or stroke experts, but broadly create a cognitive or long-term dementia impact, and it's cumulative. And then there's just volume loss, which again can all add up. So these are common things that we see, but a lot of them have a blood vessel root, which is a little bit different than when you back up to the larger blood vessels, where the most common thing that we see is a clot in the heart break off. So there's clot or thrombosis on the arterial side, because when the heart pumps blood to your arteries, you can feel a pulse. That clot or thrombus goes into the brain and blocks off the blood supply to a large portion, and that's big enough where you start to see the inability to speak, the facial droop, or the paralyzed limb. That's a different kind of infarction. So strokes and infarcts are a very broad term, but at that smaller blood vessel level that we see a lot, that's where you really start to worry about this disease process.
So when we see people with aphasia or can't speak, do we assume that they all have that type of memory loss due to the cardiovascular?
So it depends on when the situation happens. So you could have had that older individual who's been very active, and active enough that they didn't want to take their blood thinner because they loved riding their bicycle, and they had an infarction because the clot built up, went to the brain, they can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
That person may or may not have the baseline problems versus the inactive hypertensive smoker or diabetic or whatnot that hasn't been addressing those underlying health problems. They're still getting blood vessel changes. So it's a very heterogeneous presentation and really requires taking a look at all the way down to the primary care and social level of what's going on to that individual.
And inflammation, you know, inflammation is very interesting because it's a very broad term, but inflammation is not our friend. Mm-hmm. Anything that causes an inflammatory process, diabetes, cancer, any of the inflammatory diseases, they in itself create a process to where plaque can now start to build over time. And for my patients, one of the way that I try to explain it to family members, I say, imagine having this beautiful garden, right? And you have this irrigation system that goes to the entire garden. And then every once in a while, you go out there and you clamp one little area of the irrigation system. Mm-hmm. What you're going to notice over time is your flower bed starts having little spots that die, right?
Right?
But imagine never allowing the water to go back there. No matter what you do, that area
won't be revived.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what occurs in our brain. Mm-hmm. And when you lose enough spots in the garden, now the garden isn't as beautiful as it used to be. And that's kind of the process of where dementia occurs. One little spot, the garden is still lovely, right, and beautiful. But when you have 4, 5, 6, 7, or 10, now it changes the process of what we see. And that's what occurs with vascular dementia and some of these other dementias that take away portions of our brain.
You both said that no matter what type of dementia or memory loss people have, the outcome is usually the same. Can you touch a little bit on that?
Go ahead.
Typically, it's the point where people need assistance. It's where, for me, the big factor is when you can no longer live the life that you are currently living.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you be at home living independently, you might be in a nursing home, right? But now you can't feed yourself any longer. So when we start seeing changes in people's function, that's the time that the care kind of all evolves down into the same path. You know, typically for me, what I see is when I see dementia and weight loss, people are now on a trajectory, mm-hmm, because they won't recover anymore. So as a hospice medical director, we get called in. There's strict criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, for example, you have to have a 10-pound weight loss and a memory decline to be able to qualify for hospice. But if we could have been involved a little bit earlier, we could have looked at some ways to prevent that.
Right.
You know, we're looking at palliative care in the United States, but I don't think we do palliative care well at all. Mm-hmm. We really don't. And part of that is the reimbursement process, because people that perform palliative care don't get reimbursed well for the care that they provide. And if you think about it, if I'm taking care of one of Dr. Ferris's patients at home, right, I have to leave my office, I have to drive there, I have to see the patient. Normally the visits are much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to take time to go to your next place. People don't want to do that because they prefer to stay in the office,
right,
and provide
more
care.
Efficient.
It's much more efficient.
Right.
It's much more effective.
But the mm-hmm. I think what you highlighted is that when it, regardless of the source, when they reach a final common pathway, the outcome's the same, is that they're going to need the support because we don't have the fix.
Mm-hmm.
If you can back up, then you can start to influence things, whether it's from diabetes, blood pressure, Parkinson's management, depression, anxiety. Then you can start to influence those levers as well as lifestyle. But that's, again, recognizing it before, and that's the paradox that we face.
Mm-hmm.
But once it gets to where concierge care advisors is needed, it's a very difficult and really should be recognized as an advanced. So we do a really good job of talking about cancer, mm-hmm, stage 4. It really advanced. It's really a stage 4 disease process at that point. And like cancer, getting to it earlier can impact prognosis.
Absolutely, because there's no reverse when the memory loss is to the point where they come to see us. You know, dad left last night and we can't find him. You hear that on the TV and, you know, news constantly. We had 4, I think, in the Pacific Northwest in the last 2 weeks. So that is terrifying.
And people seek care differently. I mean, if I tell somebody they have cancer, they want to go to the oncologist right away, right? If I tell somebody I suspect they have dementia, there's like, oh, I don't think I really have that. And
they poo-poo it.
Yeah, it's right up there. I mean, it's in the top 10 list, but it doesn't, we've spent a lot of emphasis on cancer, on heart attack, because they're huge public health problems. This one's a little bit harder to swallow, mm-hmm. but is right up there. And really, the better we talk about it, and it's time to have that conversation.
Everybody should have it.
Yep, everyone. I will tell you a little story that was very humbling to me. I ran a 60-bed dementia community in Linwood, and I was the kind of the executive director and the marketer at the same time that introduced me to this side of the business of elders moving. I did medical supplies for years prior to that. And I was getting ready to think about another position, which was running a housing company like we have here, but different. Ours is much better. And when I was thinking about leaving that position, and there were 60 seniors, and I thought, oh my gosh, how are they going to live without me? I'm, you know, so important to them. And I had so many good friends, and I did take a different position, came back 2 weeks later, and not one of them recognized me. So it was pretty humbling, but I really appreciate you guys being here to talk more about memory loss. Thank you, doctors.
Thank you.
Thanks.